These data brokers now have and make it extremely easy to find on Google using the most advanced search engine optimization techniques for the data, about 1,000 to 2,000 pieces of personal information on each individual in the U.S.
This is Frankly MSP, where managed service providers get real.
Hey, this is Jennifer Tribe, and you're listening to episode 66 of Frankly MSP. This is the last episode of the podcast called Frankly MSP. Starting with the next episode, which drops August 6th, the name of the podcast will be Frankly IT, and we'll be talking about how IT leaders in any kind of organization, MSP, in-house IT, other technology service providers, can boost the productivity and efficiency of their IT team. A note for all of you subscribers of the podcast. First of all, thank you. We appreciate your support. And I also wanted to let you know that if you're already subscribed, you will remain subscribed to the podcast when the name changes to Frankly IT. Podcast feed remains the same, so no need to worry. You'll miss the new show when it's released. And I do hope you'll tune in because we have some great guests lined up for Frankly IT. We've got Julie Forsyth, who's the VP of Engineering here at Ovic, talking about how a top 10 list can help you boost efficiency, improve focus, and reduce frustration across your team. We'll also be talking to IT leader, author, and consultant Bob McGannon on what seeing eye dogs can teach us about enabling our teams to find new and better ways to do things. And that's not all, so stay tuned as we become Frankly IT in the very next episode. This week, I'm talking to Rob Chevelle, co-founder and CEO at a company called Abine, which offers a service called Delete Me. Now, you may be doing dark web scans right now for your customers or users, but are you thinking about threats from what Rob calls the light web? These are attacks from scammers using completely legal and legit data to threaten your users and access your network. We dig into some of the data points, how these scams work, and what you can do to lock things down.
You're listening to Frankly MSP, brought to you by Ovic Networks.
Hi, Rob. Welcome to the show.
Thanks. It's good to be here.
So today we're going to talk about the latest in cybersecurity scams. Your company deals a lot with this day in and day out. Tell us what you're seeing happening around COVID, maybe even Black Lives Matter, that hackers are exploiting.
What we've seen is there's been a decrease in overall scams over the last year or so, but a significant increase in COVID and other healthcare related scams. The percentage of those scams in the trailing 12 months as a percentage of all the fraud that's being perpetrated has almost doubled. It's gone from about 14 or 15% to almost 30% of all scams. So people are, as is typical, people are taking advantage of the paranoia out there and people's willingness to click or pick up the phone. One of the things that we've noticed through customers that we service who are sometimes the victims of these scams is that a root cause of them is the easy ability to go get a bunch of personal information about anyone, really starting from a variety of different points. For example, let's talk about Black Lives Matter. We've had customers come to us that are called out in news reports or local news and then experience scams in the form of everything from them getting doxxed or their information getting posted to social media, all the way to physical things where people show up at their doorstep. This is happening in the Black Lives Matter and protest area to both sides. So we have customers signing up for our Delete Me service that represent interest groups and minority groups and protesters, as well as local police departments and law enforcement. One of the things that we're seeing more and more often is that when somebody's identifiable on either side of these protests, it is very, very easy to take a single identifier, whether it's a photo, the name of a group, the name of a local officer or a law enforcement person, and then go from that to Google to get all of their information. And from there, being able to perform some kind of act of harassment scam.
Obviously, this is a concern for individuals, right? There's the threat of violence if their information is exposed. But let's bring this into a company context.
Yeah. So when you're protecting a network, I think typically the way IT professionals have thought about that is what are the threat vectors for a data breach? and how do we protect against those continuously? And how do we set up our network protocols and rules and security procedures to minimize the risk of those? One of the emerging risks that we see is what I'll just call like the light web as opposed to the dark web. And what I mean by that is the massive amount of information that can be correlated to either users that you're protecting on your network or customers that the network or company is supporting. The greater availability of personal information that can be bought, not on the dark web, not taken nefariously from a zip file from a data breach, but rather just purchased out in the open from a variety of data brokers. What we're seeing is there's a whole lot more sophistication in the amount of sort of semi-personalized fraud, scams, and a kind of attacks that can happen, whether it's related to a simple kind of credential-based attack where people are trying to guess passwords and maiden names and things like that, or whether they're doing something more sophisticated by trying to convince the user inside the network that they should really grant access to somebody, download a file because they have that person's personal information. So unfortunately, people's guard has to be raised to a level that I think it probably hasn't been before because of the easy availability of this personal information. It's kind of a new threat, I think, for a lot of professionals that are think of themselves as protecting the security of a network. This is kind of a new area for them to think about.
What I'm hearing is that the corporate risk is coming through the individual employees. So for example, an individual employee might have their name in a news article, or somebody might lift it off Facebook and then use that data to search and collect more information and then use that for some sort of social engineering attack that would get them into the company network where that person works. Is that right?
Yeah, I think it's in part exactly that. But let me give you some more specific examples. What is available now from data brokers that are completely legal and doing business in the United States? What I mean by data brokers, just to give you an example, are companies like Spokio, People Finders, White Pages, My Life, XLEC. We maintain a list of hundreds of these, of which the top 20 or 30 are the most significant. But these data brokers now have and make it extremely easy to find on Google using the most advanced search engine optimization techniques for the data, about 1,000 to 2,000 pieces of personal information on each individual in the U.S. One key point for anyone running a network to understand is the root cause of where this data is coming from that's used for these social engineering attacks and credential attacks and sophisticated kinds of fraud. And the root cause of it, unfortunately, isn't just social networks. So a policy that says, hey, don't ever reveal your employer name or status on a social network doesn't protect against some of these profile-based, data broker-based threats, because this information is getting gathered at the source from a bunch of different public records databases. These are typically state government registries, things like the DMV, voting records, court records, this kind of thing. And they used to live in file cabinets and have now not just been sucked onto the web, but have been continuously updated and correlated by the data broker industry, which has increased the sophistication of what its tools are able to crawl and update to a level now where pretty much anything is easily available for a small price.
So these data brokers, these are all legit, totally legal, right? And this data isn't out in the open because of some mistake that an employee made, as you said, like, you know, using a crummy password on Amazon or something like that. This is all just going about their day-to-day lives. So how on earth does a network manager handle this?
Yeah, well, it's a great question. This is kind of a new thing for network managers to think about. The dark web is something that's fairly easy for an IT security professional to understand. We had data breaches, hackers were involved, they posted the data that they extracted, often for a price, to a hard-to-reach set of servers that you access via Tor, and you have to continuously scan those to see what kind of information that currently allows access to your network is exposed out there on this dark web. I think it's useful to compare what we think of as protecting against dark web threats versus protecting against this kind of threat. As you alluded to, this information and the root source of this information is all coming from legitimate, most of the time US-based companies that are doing this completely legally. They're selling this information to anybody, including scammers, and there's no real recourse in how that data is used once they sell it. Once data brokers sell this information, even if they sell it to a scammer, somebody who commits and is convicted of a hacking attack, there's very little recourse because they just throw up their hands and say, hey, we had no idea what was going to happen with the data after we sold it. And under current US regulation, that's okay.
You mentioned that most of these data brokers are based in the US and just been talking about legislation in the US. Are citizens in other regions of the world like Europe, Asia, Australia, New Zealand, are they at the same risk as American people?
They're not. And I think part of the reason is because of GDPR and nature of Europe, even prior to the EU. We had much smaller databases of citizens fragmented by different languages, which made things harder to query, with a less sophisticated group of technical data broker type companies. You do have data brokers, particularly in the UK. There's a few people search sites in Germany and so forth, but they are much more strictly regulated and the threat is much lower to citizens of the EU than the US. As to EMEA and Asia, I think it's a completely different world out there, and it is not something that, frankly, we know a lot about. The sort of expectations and rules of the game are just so different than even the discussion in the United States.
So come back to the question is, if you're a network manager or an IT manager in a company, what the heck do you do?
There's a couple things. Number one, you need to do the same things that you're already doing, but be more vigilant in educating employees. People have to understand that they cannot use things that they consider to be secret that are easily searchable on Google. That includes using their date of birth, their maiden name, their mother's maiden name, their children's names, their relatives' names, their past addresses. All of those things are purchasable for, you know, 99 cents. From these data brokers and available in that level of detail on almost everybody. So if, for example, a hacker or a fraudster wants to target one of your customers and they get a list of 100 employees and then they go get all of this information and throw it into a credential stuffing algorithm, and some of those employees use these common secrets, which we really shouldn't use the word secret anymore, these common pieces of information that we used to consider private, it's a problem. So what can they do? Make sure the people on your network understand that this information that they might use as part of their passwords, as part of their access credentials and reminders and so on, that they used to consider private, but is easy to remember for them, isn't private anymore. Number two, there are services out there, our Delete Me service is one of them. There's stuff from larger organizations like Norton and LifeLock that do help scan even these legitimate US data brokers and remove readily accessible profiles of employees from those databases. And if they want to take a more proactive approach to this kind of threat, there are services available. And in addition to that, they can show individual employees how they can opt out of these databases themselves. And, you know, it can take a little bit of time and it has to be done for a variety of them to be effective. Because if you Google somebody's phone number, name, address, employer, that sort of thing, and concatenate some of these searches together, you'll find that it's typically 10 or 20 different data brokers that come up selling this data. So there are ways that employees and individuals can be taught how to opt out. And of course, doing that is free of charge. It doesn't require a service at all. So I think those are three ways that professionals these days can address the growing threat of public profile information that is at an unprecedented level of detail, accessibility, and low price here in mid-2020, how security professionals can mitigate the threat of that information being found and used to get into a network or commit scams and frauds, even outside of a company's four walls.
Now, these services that you mentioned, yours and a couple of the others that you mentioned, are these things that you would run continuously, or are they kind of like a scrub once and then maybe scrub 6 months later?
It's really a range. If you want to incorporate this kind of privacy threat protection service as part of your suite of network offerings or a differentiator to your security best practices or what have you, I think you'll be able to find different approaches. Some are super vigilant and, you know, are continuously scanning. Others will perform more of a clean it up and wait approach. So it really depends on the stance you take regarding the threat. What we have seen from our data internally is that this information that data brokers have on employees, typically about 30% of it will be repopulated across the top 25 data brokers within 6 months of having it removed. So it is a best practice to continuously monitor, scan, and remove this information from being easily findable and purchasable by fraudsters. But I don't think paying an extremely high price to scan for it every day, like you might do for dark web exposed passwords that match current passwords on your network or something like that, I don't think that is necessary right now.
This may be a totally wild question, but I'm wondering, you know, it strikes me that I'm an individual and maybe I don't know a lot about this stuff and I'm kind of freaked out by all the data that's available and it's nothing that I did. And I'm wondering if employers could use this as an employment perk, you know, work for us and we'll make sure that not only are we protecting our network, but we're going to protect your personal data profile as well.
It's a great question. And as an industry or as a little niche segment of the security market, we believe that privacy is an emerging area that represents both a traditional security threat, much in the way that we've been talking about for the last several minutes, but also an opportunity to provide a nice benefit to employees and their families. Because it is concerning to most people that their information and their home address and the value of their home and their children's ages and that kind of thing are so easily available at such a low price to anyone that might want to search for it for any reason. And by the way, you know, with our service with DeleteMe, you get a very clear report for each individual that's scanned. It shows exactly where your information was found, what kinds of information each data broker had collected about you, and how much that data broker was selling it for. So it's very easy to kind of feel better for a typical individual, whether they're savvy about IT or not, that their information is not so easily accessible. So I do think it's an interesting area where a organization or an MSP could both enhance the overall security of their network environment, but also provide a benefit that employees and their families would find useful, valuable, interesting, that sort of thing. The main message I have is that this is a growing threat. And what's most important to me personally is that people are more educated about it, at least until we get federal privacy legislation, which I personally expect will happen in the next administration, whoever that administration, whoever is leading the United States for the next 4 years. I really hope these privacy issues that we're talking about have risen to the level of bipartisan support. Because it's just not right that all of this information about all of us is so easily available and there's so much of it and it's being updated so often. It's being used for so much increasingly sophisticated types of fraud. So I hope that it is addressed politically, but in the meantime, it's really important that everybody is better educated about it. And we just can't go on living in this fantasy that, you know, we have this personal information that others don't know about. If everybody understands that their personal information is a whole lot less personal because of the nature of the technology industry today and the data brokers that are out there, I think everyone will be better protected.
Thank you so much for joining us today, Rob. It's been really eye-opening.
Thanks, Jennifer.
That was Rob Chevelle of Abine and Delete Me. Rob shared a lot of great additional resources and info with me, which I'll put in today's show notes at avik.com/franklymsp/066. There's an article on new scams targeting work from home users, a list of the top brokers, how much traffic they get, what they charge for data access, and how long it takes for data to be taken down from their sites. Rob also shared a sample of the kind of privacy report you can get for each of your employees or users, showing you what data is available on each person on each of those broker sites. So once again, for all of that, plus contact links for Rob, hop over to the show notes at avik.com/franklymsp/066. And that's a wrap for this episode and for the podcast known as Frankly MSP. Next time we speak, it'll be as Frankly IT. Can't wait. Till then, this is Jennifer Tribe. Thanks for listening.
Frankly MSP, brought to you by Avik Networks, the most efficient and profitable way to manage your clients' networks.